You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
KSL at night. KSL at night.
And welcome back to KSL at night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, alongside my good friend Mara Carabello, and we're talking about all the interesting things. If you missed any of our shows, especially when they're me and Mara, because we have such a good time.
That's right.
We're the best. You can always go back and listen to it on KSLpodcast.com. After our show has been aired, just look up KSL at night. Quite frankly, Mara, any app that you use to get podcasts, you're going to be able to find us being brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, you just pick out the subjects you want, watch the whole show again, listen to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, join us again.
Yeah, so here's the thing. We want to talk now about the fact that the FCC restored net neutrality. So what I want to tell you, Mara, is, I don't know, 16, 17 years ago, John Oliver did like a bit maybe on net neutrality. And for those 5 seconds, I understood exactly what we were talking about. And then poof, out of my brain and out of my hard drive went anything about this. And then it came back up and I thought, oh, no, I'm going to have to learn this. Thank goodness the semester's over. I don't have to explain it to any students because I really don't know. Do you know what we're talking about? Like, what is net neutrality?
Well, I think we're lucky tonight because we have a guest that I'm going to lean on him to give us the context and the basic 101 of that. Troy Ryman is the senior practice manager for AWS Securities Risk Compliance for Strategic Accounts. Troy, thanks for joining us tonight. And I'm going to throw you that broad. Give us the 101 of what net neutrality
Cliff
is.
Notes.
Yes.
Yeah, no, great to be on. So real quick, net neutrality was something that's passed by the Federal Communications Commission. That basically assigns or controls internet service providers that we use today and basically labels them as a utility, similar to what we see as water electricity companies. It basically keeps these internet service providers from playing favorites when it comes to internet content and makes sure that their networks that they're providing us are reliable and stable. So previously, our internet service providers, they could choose to maybe reduce our internet speeds if we were using applications such as Netflix, or they could prioritize other applications or networks out there if they had pre-negotiated rates with some of these companies. However, this new ruling basically makes it so our internet service providers can no longer limit the bandwidth we paid for initially. It also makes sure that their services are robust. They have to make sure that they're protecting them against cybersecurity attacks, denial of service, and ransomware. So it really puts responsibility on them to make sure their infrastructures are responsible and reliable, as well as giving us what we paid for initially.
All right. So can we, this is a political show, Troy. So let me just real quick be political on this. So when it was the Obama administration, we get net neutrality. Then it's the Trump presidency and the rules change. And now it's like, I guess, deep into the Biden administration, but it feels like, is this going to be one of those things where every time we have a Democrat, we're going to get net neutrality, and every time we have a Republican, we're going to not have it? Like, is it that? Or is the FCC seeing something, does that make sense, that's causing this movement?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think we'll probably will in some case. So what we're seeing is, originally when Obama was in, they saw this as an opportunity to put in some government oversight into saying, hey, our communication infrastructure is critical. We need to make sure that we put in some regulations to protect it. Republicans get in under Trump and they see this as, hey, this is just the FCC, reaching in and making sure that they put in additional regulations that will further strengthen their grip on our communication strategy. They're seeing this as government overreach. And they argue that, hey, by putting these stipulations on our internet service providers, it's going to chill innovation and investment in the broadband industry and make things less competitive overall.
I
think we'll continue to see this.
How does this interact with another policy segment of internet connections, which is the digital divide? This notion that these internet service providers and networks, large networks, aren't moving into less economically viable areas, often rural areas. Is there a relationship from a policy point of view between net neutrality and bridging digital divides?
Yeah, and I think we see this oftentimes, we saw this back in 2020. So right now, you look at your internet service provider as any other company, right? They're out there to make money, to bring in customers, and they're obviously going to service areas where there's a lot more customers that they can bring in. with this net neutrality law, they're looking at internet services more as, hey, we used to use this for a convenience feature and entertainment. Now they're looking at it as a critical piece of infrastructure. When COVID happened in 2020, people started to transition. A lot of their day-to-day work was done over the internet on their computers. And as a result, they looked at this as, hey, I need this to help support my family. I'm good at getting critical services like consulting doctors and whatnot over the internet. And I really need this service. And so now with this new law, it makes it so that these individuals who may not have gotten as much of a network or as much of prioritization are now going to see a little bit more support out there in these rural areas.
So that just makes me wonder, Troy, are we moving in the direction of it being more like a public utility? Does that make sense? Like, is it more like I only can get Rocky Mountain Power? Is it going to look like that? Maybe short term or long term? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's some of the fear, right? Because what this does is it puts them in the same category as the utility. It allows the FCC to step in if it says, hey, we think your internet service provider is charging too much, or we think that when there's an outage, you know, they're not putting enough services and times in it. I mean, there's both sides of the coin, right? It helps consumers in some cases where it can help control costs. It can help make sure that our internet services are coming up and are going back down. But at the same time, if you look at it, it makes things a little less competitive if they're regulating internet prices so no one else has to be competitive. And at the same time, it may stifle innovation where people may not want to continue to expand some of these networks and make them better if there's no return on investment.
Are there any other disadvantages that you see for regulating the internet like a public utility? Are those the primaries?
Well, I think if you see it as you do with anything else that gets regulated, and I think we're seeing this in a lot of other industries such as pharmaceuticals or wherever else. When you start regulating and you start putting a lot of stipulations, it gets really hard to work in this area and incentivize other business owners from getting in. It's typically when we see other business owners from getting in and building out these services where we really start to see a competitive advantage and companies starting to get better and better services at cheaper and cheaper prices. But when we start regulating it, you know, there's just no incentive for anyone else to jump in the game. They see this too difficult, too hard, too challenging. Why would I go in there for a little bit of a return on investment, you know? And then at that point, it's just left up to the big players to play, you know, this game of offering internet services.
So let me ask you a question. It feels like if there's regulation, that means prices should go up, right? I think that's kind of when we think about, you know, how business works, that's how that goes. And then we kind of would expect that those costs would then be transferred to the consumer, right? So if it is harder for Xfinity to do all the things it's doing due to regulations, I might have to pay more. But my question, so that might be true, but Troy, I feel like during the Trump administration, when there was no net neutrality, it wasn't like our prices went down, right? So it wasn't like we went from Obama era and then all of a sudden, right? So can you kind of talk to us about, do you all expect those costs to be transferred out to consumers? If they were, then why weren't they when the net neutrality was gone? Do you know what I mean? Earlier, like just kind of talk to me about that, you know, price relationship, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people didn't see a change, or every day-to-day people see a change when net neutrality was, you know, put in place, and then when it was dissolved, and now it's going to be put back in place again. You know, what it does mean is our internet service providers, there are staples where they have to make sure that these services are reliable. They have to make sure that they're providing the services we did pay for initially. But I think internet service providers, a lot of them are probably doing this anyways. No one's going to be paying for a service that continuously goes down or is interruption. They're not going to be paying for a service that they see as slow. Today, we still have other options. And so I think a lot of what these, you know, regulations are going to oversee probably aren't going to impact too many of the service providers we're seeing today. What it is going to require them to do is probably give additional filings, reports, audit statuses, and things like that to the FTC regulators to show, yeah, we're abiding by your laws and, you know, and whatever else you had us do under this law. But that may translate into higher prices for consumers, or it may not. It just depends on how much more of an overlift it is. But, you know, that being said, we've put this in place once. There wasn't too much of a change. I wouldn't expect too much of a change of again once we put it back in.
All right. Troy Rideman, Senior Practice Manager for AWS Security. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. So today, breaking just today, Democratic candidate for Governor Brian King selected his lieutenant governor. We're going to have a conversation with her coming up next on KSL News Radio.
911, emergency.
They kidnapped my son.
What would you do if your child disappeared and someone you trusted was responsible?
We thought he cared for McKay, when in fact he didn't care for anyone.
Listen to Ransom now at ransompodcast.com.